Where's your T-Reed? Where's your T-Reed? Hello? Hello?
Come up.
Stop. The Amunah of Ad, we're going to finish up with the Amunah of Yitzchak Avinu. Amunah of Avram Avinu is Amunah in Hashem. It was Amunah Avram Avinu came to on his own. Our Amunah is based on our Messiah. We're not necessarily, our Amunah is not so much Shayat to Avram Avinu's Amunah. Avram Avinu came to it on his own. We have Amunah based on the fact that we heard from our father or from our father or from our Rebbe or from, and there's a chain going back to our Sinai. There was something called mass revelation. No other religion claims that, and it's very simple. Why no other religion is going to claim that? Because
you can't
fake true. That. You can't do that. So we're true, they're wrong. It's that simple. Why do we believe in Judaism? Why do we believe in the fact that we're the Aman Ifchar? It's because we have proof. Our proof is our Messiah, and that's Emunah in Chachamim. And that's what Yitzchak Avinu, he brings in Emunah in Chachamim. That's what he brings to the table. You know, sometimes, I'll give you an example. Sometimes there are people, there's all different types of theories as to what's with the dinosaur? They have carbon testing, and they've got these, you know, these fossils, and what's the shot of the dinosaurs? Dinosaurs are how old, anyone know?
300 billion years old.
Very, very old. Very old dinosaurs. And the world is only...
a little old.
6,000 years.
Less than 6,000 years. So how did it happen? So that's part of where, like, the scientists are like, forget about it. That's what they are at. So how do you reconcile fossils?
Hot water from the marble.
The marble.
Oh, the marble. That's one way. Any other way to reconcile?
They were just there.
That Hashem put fossils in the ground in order to confuse us.
But like they just put a whole Tyrannosaurus Rex in the ground.
Hashem put fossils in the ground. Maybe another way to do it is that during the six days of creation, actually, the world was created before there was time, before there was a sun and a moon. So how long were the first 6 days? Millions. Okay, there's actually scientists, one by the name of Schroeder, and another one by the name of Natan Aviezer, and Gerald Schroeder. These are big scientists that have all these different types of equations, and how if you do mathematical equations based on space and time and a theory of Einstein's relativity, and you do all the stuff that comes out, that the 6 days of creation was really 15 billion years, the amount of time, carbon dating, exactly perfect. Okay, Natan Aviezer is one way of doing it, and Gerald Schroeder is another way of doing it. Everyone's got their own thing, and right. So
wasn't
so,
there like a list of like animals that were before the marble and they got wiped out?
There's things before the marble that got wiped out. It could be like all. So we have all these. So someone said to me once the following thing: a thinking person has to be bothered by this question. What's with the fossils? You have to have an answer. You got to be bothered by that question. And I personally think that a believing person doesn't have to bother that question at all. It doesn't even faze me. Because I have a Messiah.
It doesn't bother me. I'm just curious.
Oh, yes. Curious very much.
You could be intriguing.
Intriguing. And you could definitely work on it, all that stuff. But.
No, it makes sense.
It's absolutely nothing to do with my Emunah. Zero. I sleep very well at night not having an answer to this question. Okay, I happen to have certain answers, as I told you. Genesis and the Big Bang is Gerald Schroeder. The Beginning of Time is Natan Aviezer. You know, Victor Miller wrote a book on it. There's lots of different answers. Okay, I've read them, but I sleep very well not even having the answer. It doesn't bother me. Because if you have a Muna in Chachamim, you have a Muna in Har Sinai, you're good. You're good. You don't need to know the other answers. I don't either. We have a foundation. We have a foundation to our Amunah. And everything above that's nice to know. It's a good thing to know. It's a nice thing to understand. You know, there's a big debate going on in America now. If you had, would you abort Hitler's Yimach Shemoy V'Zichroy, his fetus? Did you know there's a big debate about this? Speaking to the presidential candidates. Like, would they do it? Would you kill baby Hitler? Yimach Shemoy V'Zichroy Rosh HaMerusha. Would you kill baby Hitler? What?
It's for the abortion.
You cut him up into little pieces. Oh. That's what I would do. That's what the Navi did to
what?
Agag.
Grossed out?
Cut him up into
little pieces. Yeah, but I wouldn't do it.
Okay, kids are... Points like this.
The question is,
would you abort baby Hitler?
Other people.
Question so
theoretical. No.
Concentration camps.
What about
how does this debate now? Which
what about your small
I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there. Okay. Now, some people have an issue. How could you kill an innocent child?
Correct.
It is innocent. Never did anything wrong yet.
Because he hasn't done anything wrong yet. So one of the presidential candidates, which I don't understand what in the world he's thinking. This is purely politics.
Donald Trump, probably?
No. Actually, very wrong. No. He said, I would kill the baby but not abort the child.
What a retard.
Is that an American politician?
Who was
retarded.
It?
Totally retarded.
Welcome to American politics.
Ben Carson, his name is?
Does not make sense.
Brain surgeon. Yeah, pretty stupid for a brain surgeon. I don't get it. You'll kill the baby, but you won't abort the child. So you have to let the baby go. I'm pro-life, so let him live, and then kill him. Does that make any sense? It's like just like...
He wants to get the anger of killing it.
And then he just wants to like pacify the pro-abortion, the pro-life people. Like, I wouldn't abort a baby. I just kill him once he's born. Makes no sense! Anyway, kids, I was talking to a fellow once. What?
Okay.
I was talking to a friend of mine once, and he said, listen, I understand the whole Torah, the whole thing. It all makes sense to me. I don't get how you could kill innocent children. Timcha Zecha Amalek? Get this little baby, this cute little baby, blonde hair, blue eyes.
No,
you and you go over there and you shoot it dead. How could you do that? That's what he said to me.
Wait.
You know, what's the answer to that question? You know what the answer is? I don't need to know the answer to that question. I'm fine. I know that God gave the Torah. You could go, Nasa and Ishma. That's Nasa and Ishma. I don't know. Maybe I will try to figure it out. We could talk about it, and really that there's something wrong with there's a mutation in the gene, and something wrong with them, and Esav says, Shav Shabar Ba'olam, and there's really no good that could come out of them. And you could talk and talk and talk whatever you want, but you know something? I don't even need to know the answer. I'm good, because I have Amuna. It all goes into the category. This friend of mine that said this question went off the derech, ended up very, very not from. And Baruch Hashem, years later, he made a comeback, and he's Baruch Hashem now from.
Did he still have that question?
I didn't ask him, but probably not. That was one of those things that was like kind of like his way of starting to like phase out. He was on his way out. He was like, I don't understand how we could do this. This religion is cruel. And like here he's going, boom. He's on his way out. He ended up marrying his girlfriend. Then he ended up divorcing his girlfriend, coming back to religion, marrying another woman. And Baruch Hashem now is a very nice, wholesome family and everything's good. But it was many, many years and a tremendous amount of pain that he went through. But my point is that we don't really need the answer to those questions. That's Nasa and Ishma. That's Emunah. And Yitzchak is the one that stelled Emunah in Chachamim. Not just Emunah in Hashem, Emunah in Chachamim. Now the problem we have is as follows. What happens when the Chachamim are wrong?
How do we know they're wrong?
Can't happen! It happened. Can't happen! So let's try to figure this out. Okay? We're going to deal with two things. Chacham are wrong, machlokes. I want to talk about an example. My father works in the food industry, as I'm assuming most of you know. My father was giving the hechsher to a very popular product. And the owner of the product was a chassid of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Rebbe was alive at the time. And he was offered a very large sum of money for his product. It was like wildly popular. It went big. I can tell you what it is. It's called Tofuti. Famous Tofuti?
Taffy's?
Tofuti. Tofuti was the first power of ice cream that really like hit big. And it hit huge. When Tofuti went out, it was huge. It was all over the place. Tofuti. Everyone was into Tofuti. Someone made him a really fat offer on his on the whole company. The way it works in food industry in general now is that you have a product, you do well, and then this huge company comes along, like Kraft, perfect. And Kraft buys you out for a ridiculous amount of money because they got so much money, they don't care. And they just keep on buying things up, and then they have so many products, and that's the way it happens. You can't refuse these offers. The offer was like insanely amount of money, right? So he's getting an offer. He got an offer. Okay. Hain Foods is very big. Kraft Foods is very big. Unilever is huge. Unilever, the one that they like soap. They also have tons of food. These right now, that's the way it works. Entenmann's doesn't own Entenmann's. Freihafer's doesn't know Freihafer's. All these companies. Eintemans, it might be Hain Foods, so maybe Unilever. Everything's bought. Everything is bought by other people. All these huge, whatever they're called, conglomerates. The huge, they buy off. They buy all these little things. You're doing well, they buy you. That's the way it goes. Anyway, he gets an offer. A lot of money. He goes to the Lubavitch Rebbe, should I sell?
What are we talking about?
And the Rebbe tells him, don't sell. Keep it. So, he's a good chassid. He doesn't sell. Well, right after that happened, Klein's came out with Parava ice cream, and Strauss came out with Parava ice cream, and Tofutti, like, the stock just, like, plummeted, and Tofutti was, like, barely hanging on by a thread. They were holding on. Never closed. They never went bankrupt, but he would have cashed out big if he would have gone then. But he didn't do it. He lost his moment. Why not? The Rebbe told me. You ever made a mistake, no?
Seems doesn't like, mean that that's no. a mistake. That's
no, it's a matter of opinion. I don't know. Like, okay. You could ask one rabbi something, he'll see something different than
okay, we're going to get to two rabbis saying two different things. We're not going to get there.
I'm saying, how is that the wrong decision?
I would add so much money!
That's not
maybe
good.
Maybe you're not
maybe it
maybe you're doing bad things.
So this is what we have to... What?
These are easy questions to ask if it's not you losing out the money. Maybe I wasn't supposed to have
it. It's an easy answer, not an easy question. You mean an easy answer. But okay, it's much better to practice it on someone else than eventually you can do it on yourself. But you're right, we have to eventually do it on ourselves. So this person lost out millions of dollars. But the answer is, apparently, as you're saying correctly, Hashem didn't want him to have that money. He didn't make a mistake. They're ready to make a mistake. Hashem didn't want him to have that money. What happens if a person has tons of money and all of a sudden there's an electrical fire and his entire house burns down? What's that?
Hashem
wanted it. Right? That's Hashem, right?
That's
so over here also, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person went to the Chachamim and the Chacham said something and he followed him and he lost the money, it's because that was what was supposed to happen. Now, just to tell you the good story, Baruch Hashem, Tofutti is doing great now. They have new products and new stuff. And he's doing well. I'm not saying he's, you know, trillionaire, but he's Tofutti has a lot of food products. You know, they hit a peak and then they just disappear. Tofutti is their cream cheese is probably a better product even than their ice cream. It's very, very popular. Their sour cream, they have private cream cheese, sour cream, regular cheese, all different types of stuff. Tofutti is Baruch Hashem doing well. Now, what would happen if this guy would have sold the product? He has now, let's say, $10 million, whatever he would have sold for back in the day, it was a lot of money, and he invested in something else, and the thing went kaput, because all he knows how to do is make ice cream, you know what I mean? Just because he made it. So now what's he going to do with $10 million? He's going to go invest in something else. He's invented something, boom, loses all his money. Now what? That didn't happen. He's got his money, he's got his business, he's got something to wake up to every day. He loves his ice cream. Probably, you know something?
As do I.
Probably. As do you love his ice cream? The Rebbe was probably right. And what is he going to do? Sell his ice cream and play golf the rest of his life? He'll kill himself eventually. You know, I mean, how much golf can you play? So he'll invest in like something else, which he doesn't know anything about. He'll lose all his money there. We don't know necessarily. So that's an easy one, even. Tofutti was on. But on the other hand, even if you lose your money, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. Who said we're supposed to be rich? Are we supposed to be rich? Everyone's supposed to be rich?
No, just to enjoy this world.
Yes. Rich
and genius. You need to be rich to enjoy this world.
You need to be rich.
I want to tell you something. I was just speaking to a very, very wealthy man. When I say very, very wealthy, he has a few $100 million at least. I don't know exactly how much, but clearly he made on one deal $100 million. It was a famous deal. A very, very wealthy man. Okay, very, very famous wealthy man. You all know him. Everyone in this room knows him. I'm not telling you who he is because you'll hear why. I'm not saying who it is. I was just in his house recently. And I said to him, do you mind if I ask you a question? I said, I have a theory that the richer you are, the less happy you are. Did I mention this theory to any of you guys? I don't know if I did. I said, I have a theory, the richer you are, the less happy you are. He said, it's definitely true. I said, I'm not happy. He said, okay, I'm not so rich. That's why he's not happy, because he thinks, you know, oh my God, it's $250 million. You know what I mean? That's rich, you know what I mean? But he said to me, I'm not happy.
That's what he said?
That's what he said to me. Just, I wasn't even talking about him, because he is a very erlicha person wonderful person. I literally have tremendous regard for him. I thought for sure he's happy, but that's what he said to me. I'm not happy. So we think money, wow, money is awesome. People have money, that's great. Money can destroy your life. Destroy your life. So many people have money, they're so scared of their shadow, because this guy wants my money, this guy wants my money, and they're running, and you know what type of stress you have? Imagine losing $100 million in one day. You know what type of stress that is? I don't have that stress. You know what I'm saying? You know? I look at my portfolio, it's a bad day, I lost $5. You know what I mean? Like, we'll make it up, you know? It's money, marba nechasa marba daiga. It's a tremendous stress. People with money go crazy. I want you to, if you get close to any rich people, a lot of them are crazy. You go crazy with so much money. It's just like, it goes to your head. You like go, just like gone. And it's very hard to deal with. Everyone listens to what you say. You think you know everything about everything. You think you're so like, it's just very, very difficult to deal with money. So money is not happy. You should be happy. But you could be happy with the comfortable stuff. Could be happy with, you know, just need enough to get by, to be happy.
It's better than being.
It's a challenge. It's a challenge. It's a if a person deals with it well, it could be a bracha. If a person doesn't, it could be not a bracha. I'll tell you another story about a person who sold his business for $500 million. That's after he already made all of his money. And he sold his business for $500 million and he retired. Good for him, right? He's rich. I'm not telling you who he is. Before he made all his money, he was a poor man. Poor man. Poor. Like, drive a taxi. Now he's fabulously wealthy. He said to me, you know, I'm having a harder time being rich than I had being poor.
It's a whole different league of challenges. The main thing is when you're out of it, doesn't matter. Have money, you don't have money.
It's very hard. It's easy to say. I'm just telling you. I'm gonna tell you something. I don't have any Yetzirah to buy myself a BMW, a Lexus, a helicopter, a yacht, a plane. I don't have any Yetzirah. You know why? So for me, it's very simple. This guy's got so much money. Should I spend it on stucco? Should I do this? Should I buy myself a yacht? You know, he never, trust me, when he was like driving the cab, he wasn't thinking of a yacht. Now all of a sudden, man, he wants more Gashmias. I got the money, more Gashmias. Keeps that's a big challenge. This challenge being poor, you're right. I would not have made that call myself. I'm just telling what he said. He said, I'm having a harder time being rich than I had being poor.
That's crazy.
And he's very, very rich.
Can Rabbi tell us about Machlokas?
Okay, so let's get back. So I want to tell you something. I want to tell you some sefer. It's beautiful. Go ahead.
But back when Rabbi said before that even if the Chacham says something wrong,
yeah,
and you lose your money, it's obviously what Hashem wants. But the same thing with a friend. If you ask the friend and it ends up being the result, that's what Hashem wanted. So where's the Chacham?
There's a certain difference which we're gonna try to discuss right now. Okay, this is as follows. Listen to this Chassam Sofer. Could I have a Chumash? Is that okay? Oh, that's it. It's fine right there. Can you guys want to say it? Chassam Sofer is very interesting. Pshatim ala Torah. Things that he says are really, really fascinating. I'm going to read to you something. I'm going to tell you something how he's... It's a play on the Pasuk, but when the Chassam Sofer says it, it's not just a cute idea, but it has a lot of... carries a lot of weight. Parashas Matos. Vayidaber Moshe el Roshei Hamatos l'bnei Yisrael lemor. Ze hadavar asher tziva Hashem. Here goes. The Pashat Pshat on the Pasuk is as follows. And Moshe spoke about, or to the Roshei Hamatos, to b'nei Yisrael, saying, it's like funny, to the Roshei Hamatos, to b'nei Yisrael. This is the thing that Hashem said. Says the Chassam Sofer, this is the way we read the Pasuk. Vayidaber Hashem el Roshei Hamatos. Moshe spoke about the Roshei Hamatos. Roshei Hamatos are the manhigim, the rabbanim, our leaders. Lebnei Yisrael Eimor, to Bnei Yisrael, and he told them, "Zeh hadavar shetiv Hashem. Whatever they say, that is the word of God. Zeh hadavar shetiv Hashem. when they speak, it's the Shechina medaberes mitoch ruonai. It's like Hashem is speaking straight. Let's look at some surfaces. The Chachomim don't make mistakes. Hashem doesn't make mistakes. Now, just because Hashem doesn't make mistakes doesn't mean that there are things that don't go our way, right? Someone dies doesn't mean Hashem made a mistake. Someone gets hurt doesn't mean Hashem made a mistake. Someone loses money doesn't mean Hashem made a mistake. It means that that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to happen. So if a person wants to have a direct connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, goes to the Rabbanim. Now, when a person goes to a friend and asks him a suggestion, yes or no, so there, true, the outcome, everything that happens is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bashert, without a question. But that person could have been wrong. He could have been wrong, but Hashem wanted it to happen. With a Rav, or a person speaks to a Rebbe, he's not wrong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the wrong thing to happen. But he was right. But that's not what Hashem wanted. So, obviously the question is, however, how do we deal with machlekes? What happens when two Rabbanim disagree? What happens then? Two Rabbanim disagree. So, the first thing we have to be able to establish is that the Rabbanim that are disagreeing are on the same par, on the same standard. If a person has Reb Aaron Leibsteinman, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, he has Reb, someone help me out over here.
Rabbi Kalish.
Rabbi Kalish. Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Reb Aaron Leibsteinman against Rabbi Kalish.
Okay. Wow, that's fun.
I'm here. Rabbi Kalish, I love you very much. Let's do it differently. Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, Rabbi Aaron Leibsteinman against Rabbi Center. Okay? I put myself together with Rabbi Kalish. I'm very good with Rabbi Kalish, but let's be honest, okay? Rabbi Kalish and Rabbi Center, maybe we're great with Bachrim, maybe we don't know what we're doing, but there's no way either one of us is even going to claim we hold a candle to Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky and Rabbi Aaron Leibsteinman. So, if you have a machloikis between your Rebbe and Rabbi Aaron Leibsteinman, so that's not called I'm listening to Das Torah. If a person has a machloikis between two gedolim that are on the same, for example, the Rajba and the Ritva, the Rambam and the Rosh, or Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky and Rabbi Yoshev, something of that sort, then you have machlekes.
Let's say it's a question like that's a personal question.
We'll have to deal with that. We'll deal with that. But in the meantime, let's start. Now we're going to talk about a regular machlekes, yes? Okay, you got it. Okay, we're talking about a regular machlekes. If they're not in the same tier, it's not a machlekes. If you have a Pnei Yeshua against the Rajba, it's not a machlekes. Why not? The Rajba is a Rishon. Pnei Yeshua is a Achron. It just doesn't go. If you have a machlokes between Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchok, that's not a machlokes. Why not? Shimon Bar Yochai is a Tana. Rachum Bar Yitzchok is a. Amora. It's just not going to go. It doesn't exist because an Amora doesn't argue with a Tana. Unless he didn't know about it. If he does, and he didn't know about the Tana, he's done. He's like, okay, oops, didn't know about that. I'm sorry. Right? There's no such thing. If we're not on equal playing field, so then that's not really a machlokes. What happens if you have an equal playing field? Two people, equal playing field, they're having a machlokes. Never mind. So, the first thing is we have to recognize. Let's say there's a machlokes about whether or not wearing a watch on Shabbos is called carrying. That's an example. My family, we wear watches, but not on Shabbos. Because on Shabbos, it's perhaps a tzad that the watch is called carrying. It's not called wearing something. There's other people that have that feel that wearing a cap. Most people do wear watches on Shabbos. So let's just get it straight. We all believe. We all agree. What?
With an Erev or without an Erev?
Without an Erev. But we don't. I don't carry an eruv either. So it's my double.
Even
Yerushalayim.
Who doesn't carry it with an eruv?
My father doesn't carry in public eruvim either because he's special to shittas Rambam.
Old
city, I would. Only walled cities, pretty much. Pretty much. The shittas Rambam is that eruvim have to be walled. Has to be most of the wall has to be walled. So there's very few. In the small, like Malat Dafna, Arzei Abir, where there's tons of like buildings crowded around each other, then you could carry there because there's small space in between the buildings. But in like a big area, if there's very few eruvim that we carry. Har Nof, Sanhedrin Mechevin, Malat Dafna, Arzei Abir, old city.
Rabbi wouldn't carry from his house to Yeshiva?
You probably have never seen me carry from my house to Yeshiva.
Wow.
On Shabbat, of course. So let's get this straight. They all agree that the world was created by God. They all agree that the Jews are the chosen people. They all agree that the Torah is given. They all agree that you have to keep Shabbos. They all agree that keeping Shabbos includes carrying and all this stuff. They all agree to everything. Everything we agree to. There's a very fine machlokes about one very specific detail, and the answer to that is that they're both right. There's such a thing as both of them being correct, and we'll have to continue with that next time a little bit. We're going to move on to Yitzchak, but to Yaakov Zemuna, which is next week. Beis Hashem, I'm going to try to continue on this one nakuda. Hopefully next time.